Welcome back inside Kauffman Stadium, Royals Rally 2024. Royals insider Josh Vernier with you until 12 noon. We'll talk with the manager, Matt Cutrero, coming up in just about 10 minutes. Thanks to MJ Melendez and Will Smith and Hunter Renfrow for joining us. If you missed any of those conversations, they'll be up on the All Things Vern podcast after today's show. You can download the full show, the interviews. Again, just subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts to All Things Vern. I want to go back to this question from the text line, 913-586-7610. By the way, if you have questions for any of our guests, for myself, feel free, pass them along, 913-586-7610. The question was, Vern, what are we going to do at second base with all these additions? So again, to me, it's Michael Massey's job. Adam Frazier is there in case Massey doesn't get off to the type of start that we're all hoping. How many times have you and I seen a young Royals hitter scuffle in April in the cold and the miserable weather only to come out of it in June and July? Well, hopefully the veteran presence of a Adam Frazier, Hunter Renfrow can help alleviate those early season struggles. But when I look at second base, when I look at the 13 position players, we know behind the dish it's Salvi and Freddie for me. Vinny's your first baseman. Bobby's your shortstop. Mike Kell's at third. Adam Frazier and Michael Massey at second base. Now, Frazier, of course, will play the corner outfield as well, and Garrett Hampson can play center field and the infield as well. MJ and Isbell and Hunter Renfrow, to me, are on the team, which leaves two spots. Two spots in spring training, in my opinion, as of today, are up for grabs. Two position player spots are up for grabs. And the question's going to be, who's hitting? Who's hitting? Who's going to help us win in the first 2 weeks of the season? So, you know, for as much as a Dairon Blanco may be, you may scoff at the idea, man, to have that speed coming off of the bench to get you a bag late in the game, I'm not dismissing him. Nick Lofton, Drew Waters, Nelson Velasquez, Nick Prado, Tyler Gentry. Who's hitting? If you're hitting, I think you got a chance to break camp with this team and be on that open here in 2024. We'll get back to the text messages coming up in just a moment, but Adam Frazier, had a chance to talk with him earlier along with general manager J.J. Piccolo at the press conference as Frazier was asked about the leadership role that he played last year in Baltimore. He'll answer that. And then I had to know the role that Frazier was going to have on this team. He addresses his versatility, and J.J. Piccolo also on the versatility of Adam Frazier and how, for as solid of a career as he's had as a second baseman, Massey's still our guy. Frazier's going to get in where he fits in. Here's what Frazier had to say about being a leader last year in Baltimore, and boy, you know he's going to be a leader this year in Kansas City.
Yeah, dealt with it a lot last year, and it was a lot of fun for me, just helping those guys break into the big leagues, get their feet wet, be comfortable, be able to contribute on a nightly basis. There's a learning curve when you first come up, so to try to make that transition as smooth as possible is kind of my job, or one of my jobs. So it's help those guys grow, make them comfortable, whether it's on the field or off the field, just in any way possible. So our ultimate goal at the end of the night is win a game. So that's what we're trying to do. That's what I'm trying to do, try to help those guys contribute in that, in any way possible to accomplish that goal. So looking forward to that. It's, it's something I enjoy. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun together.
I was hoping you could describe the pride that you take in your versatility and also speak to the difficulty of being consistent while you're bouncing all around the field.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. I think communication's key there. If you can have a day or two, to get work in a new spot or a spot you're not in every day, I think that makes the job a lot easier. But the versatility piece, it adds so much value to a team to, be able to have the right matchup in different spots of the lineup when not just myself, but multiple guys can bounce around the field and have that versatility. So Just puts the team in a more advantageous position when guys are able to do that.
And then, JJ, I was hoping you could speak to the importance of making sure, as you mentioned, that Adam's on board, bouncing around if needed.
Yeah, I think that's just being fair to a guy who's earned the right to free agency. You know, you don't ever want to mislead somebody with what our current situation is. Now, a lot of things can happen during the course of a season. I mean, it does come down. Guys got to produce. But with Adam's history, we feel like he can protect us, so to speak, in a lot of ways. But really, that's just the way we need to operate. It wouldn't be fair to him to not represent what the situation is like, what we think about our own players right now, and let him make the decision if this is the right place for him to be. So, you know, I think Q and I both were on the same page with that, and we agreed that's the best way to go about it. And I know that throughout the course of the season, Q does a great job along with Hoob and the rest of the staff in communicating with players. Because when you do mix and match a little bit, and Adam talked about his experience last year, communication is a big part of it. And to get somebody on as a free agent, you got to start with good communication. That's what it really was.
More with the general manager, JJ Piccolo, coming up in our 11 o'clock hour. But after this quick timeout, we'll talk with the skipper, Matt Quatrero, live from Royals Rally 2024 on 610 Sports Radio. Back live from Kauffman Stadium, Royals Rally 2024. I'm Josh Vernier, so very happy to be back on the radio. Very happy to be talking Royals baseball with you. Excited for the season. Hopefully you're going to ride with 610 Sports Radio throughout the campaign. We're approaching 20 years now as your home for Royals baseball. It's crazy. Crazy how long I've been here as well. This could be year number 12 for yours truly behind the microphone before and after every Royals game. Excited. Can't wait. From the 816, Fern, great to hear you on the radio again. Hoping for a good year. Go Royals. From the 646, Vern, I get that 100 loss teams don't turn into 85 win teams just like that. However, has a 100 loss team ever made this many transactions? Vern, I'm an overly optimistic Royals fan. Now, I understand that. I don't have what the Orioles and the Diamondbacks did over the past few seasons, but I would venture to guess that most 100 loss teams make a bevy of moves in the offseason. But I don't think many 100 loss teams spend $110 million. Sure, everybody makes moves. But are you backing up the Brinks truck in the fashion that John Sherman was? No, I don't believe that. And I think that goes to what JJ Piccolo was saying at the end of last season. I know what the record is, but we're not a 100 loss team. Those teams that you're referencing, no, they're not making the splashes that this Royals organization did. But I don't think those teams have the type of young talent that we saw from the 2023 Kansas City Royals. And the man, the skipper of the 2023 and 24 Kansas City Royals is kind enough to join us right now. Q, Matt Quatrero, thank you very much for the time. How are you?
Good to see you, Vern. I'm doing well.
Boy, if anyone deserves the kind of influx of talent that this team has seen this offseason, it's got to be you. How nice was it after grinding through a difficult debut campaign to get those type of reinforcements?
Well, I don't know if I deserve it, but you know, I'm certainly happy to get these guys in the proven veterans to balance the talent, and then you know it becomes our responsibility to blend the two together because it's not new guys and young guys or veterans and new guys, whatever it is. It's one team and we need to work through that. But I think the guys that came in have that mentality. They're here to win. They're here to prove that it can be done. And, you know, we're really excited to have them.
Is there a lesson that stands out in year one as a manager? I'm sure there's countless. But this offseason, is there one bouncing around where can't wait to implement what I learned in this specific aspect?
Yeah, like you said, I don't know if there's just one. You know, I mean, it's a tough industry to win in, you know, because for all the positive thoughts we have, all the things that we think are good going into this year, there's countless other teams that are banking on the same kinds of growth from their young guys or performance from the guys they bring in. And that's what baseball brings, right? Hope springs eternal every year, right? So, you know, but this is a daily game, and you can't fast forward to think you're going to be in the playoffs. I mean, you can see that year after year after year based on payrolls around the league and those kinds of things. But my one, you know, if I had to boil it down to one thing, is really how hard it is to win every night and how many things have to go right for you to win a game night in and night out. And it's hard to stack those on top of each other.
Matt Quatrero joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. I want to talk about a few of those young ball players, beginning with Bobby Witt Jr. And I don't want to talk about expectations because you're not going to put a ceiling on a young man that talented. But do you find yourself struggling to balance what's even possible for Bobby? Because I'll sit and project, and there's nothing that's too far-fetched when it comes to a young man with that much talent. Do you sit and ruminate about what could be?
Well, I mean, I think that's the exciting part about Bobby, is he doesn't view it as what he could be down the road. He views it as tonight, you know, and proving himself night in and night out. And when he has that mindset, that we get to reap the rewards of watching it, you know, whether it be a incredible over-the-shoulder catch or a diving play up the middle or stealing all the bags and hitting for power. You know, it's such a nice thing to see when it comes from such a humble person that really cares not only about himself, but about the team above all, and a great family guy and all that kind of stuff. So to me, what's most rewarding is that you're genuinely happy for him as a person because of who he is, and that how much the other guys respect what he does. That's what makes him special.
Bobby, I spoke with MJ earlier, a guy like Vinny, the young core of this Royals organization. When they first stepped into the big league clubhouse, it's Whit Merrifield, it's Salvi, it's Hunter Dozier and Nicky Lopez, guys that have been around for a while. I'm curious how much you're hoping that they take, not that they hadn't in the past, but this is now our team. For as much as you bring in Lugo and Renfro and Waka, the Royals way begins with Bobby, Vinny, MJ, and some of those young guys. Is that a hope as we get ready for spring?
Well, I mean, I think I would go a little further than that it's been here for a long time, the Royals way, quote unquote. You know, these guys are indoctrinated. They play the game hard. They run the bases hard. They're good people. They care about each other. What needs to change is getting us to swing those games in the middle, that not the middle of the game, but the ones that are on the edge of winning and losing, which happens the overwhelming majority of the time. And sometimes that's mental, but a lot of times it's also physical, as far as calming yourself down in the box in that opportune moment, or making the pitch when the crowd gets loud and you're on the road, and being able to get their best hitter out with a couple guys on. And those kinds of things, we have to stack those little victories together night in and night out to swing the results of the games. We can't look at it as this is now our team, these three guys, because you can't go out there and play 3-on-9. You know, you have to play 9-on-9 every inning. And that's something that these guys are aware of, is no one guy can come out here and be a big league player without every other piece around him working. And I think that humility and that belief in the organization and the depth that JJ and Mr. Sherman have put together this winter, that's going to help us tremendously to withstand these ups and downs of a typical major league season.
I want to ask about Michael Garcia. What has he shown you this offseason? I'm just watching highlights online, but what has he shown you, I guess, over the past 12 months? What has he proven to himself? How are those conversations going?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've been in touch with him regularly just through messaging on WhatsApp, watching the highlights and those kinds of things. You know, winter ball is a different dynamic for anybody that's not familiar with it. I mean, the passion, the pageantry that goes on down there, the pride for their, not only their team, but their country and how these games are approached. I mean, it's basically like a wrestling match every night, and you never know what you're going to see. But just the on-the-field performance, from what I've heard and the little bit I've seen, Mike Kell's defense has been tremendous at third, which we saw here last year. He didn't qualify for the batting title because of plate appearances, but I think he was far and away leading the league in batting average, driving the ball a little bit more than he was last summer here. And just the growth, you know, I mean, he's, as you know, related with Acuna and Escobar and those guys. And I think that's only going to help grow his, he's got that sense for the game, and but that's just going to continue to, those, that relationship's going to continue to grow those. You know, so I'm super excited to see him back. He's getting his visa taken care of this weekend in the Dominican. He plans, you know, he'll be there on time, and so we're really excited. I hope he's, you know, got some left in the tank after all the emotion and all that stuff. But you know, I've been part of those before, and it's just what those guys are accustomed to, you know, the winter ball atmosphere. They, it's almost like something they need to thrive on. I remember years ago talking to Marco Scudero, who played for a couple, you know, decade in the big leagues, if not more, and he said the 1 or 2 years I didn't play winter ball, I felt like I didn't even know what I was doing, you know. So I think Mike Kell's that kind of guy. He wants to play every single inning.
And I gotta think where he was a year ago at this time, he's checked a lot of boxes for himself, just confidence-wise, heading into 2024. How about Cole Reagans? What type of impact could he make on this team? I'm not trying to put, you know, heap expectations on him, but how much of a pendulum swinger can he be?
Well, I mean, you saw what he did for us, you know, was it August pitcher of the month? Or yeah, right, August?
I mean, the whole second half of the season, he was one of the best in
the American League. Yeah, but the American League pitcher of the month, you know, and I think his drive – what stood out about him more than anything is a guy that had limited major league innings to have the preparation and the determination and the drive that he has. And that carried over into the offseason. You know, he's immediately, you know, took some rest, but immediately working to improve even what he did last year. Because, you know, you guys get bored of me saying this, but it is a day in and day out game, right? And year in and year out. He wants to be good for a long time, and he realizes that he can't rest on what he did last, you know, 2 or 3 months of the season, because everybody else is working to get better. And, you know, that there's always somebody coming behind you, not only on our team, but on every other team that you have to compete with night in and night out. So his makeup is tremendous. He's going to learn from these guys that we brought in, but he's also a teacher because of the way he prepares and the way he approaches each day.
You've been around some great pitching staffs in your career. Hoping you can speak to what the additions of Waka and Lugo mean for a Reagans and Singer. You know, prior to those signings, fans would still be excited about Reagans and Singer, but there'd be a lot more pressure on them to duplicate their best. What can those two free agent signings do to not only help them grow, but alleviate some of that it's me or nobody feeling?
Well, I think those two guys are separate as well, because Lugo has a year as a starter in the big leagues, you know, spot starts and other times, but consistently getting starts. So he's still, you know, we really believe him, and as a starter, he believes in himself. He's going to go out there with that motivation to show that that is what he is in the big leagues. Waka's been a starter for a long time in the big leagues. You know, so you're talking about two different guys, both veterans, but two different career paths. But what they bring is consistency. They throw strikes. They use their off speed. They know how to dial back big situations and compete with the best. They know what they do well. And I think even, you know, talking to Waka, you know, I was with him in 21, and he kind of turned a corner halfway through that year in his pitch evolution and usage. And so he's still learning who he is. And I think those kinds of things is what guys understand at some point. Like, I'm not a finished product ever. I can constantly evolve. You know, that's kind of thing that Greinke showed a lot of these guys last year as well.
Final thing for you. Salvi started 90 games behind the dish last season. Are you hopeful for a similar number in 24?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because that's something we talk about internally. It's something we talk about with Salvi. You know, his drive to play every day is tremendous. He did have a lot of success and did a good job playing first base as well. So we're gonna try to balance that the best we can. You know, we got a tremendous productive year last year out of Freddie.
Yeah.
And if beyond all else, Salvi wants to win. So if he knows that we have a better chance on any given night of winning a game with Freddie in there and him playing first or him DHing, whatever the case is, he's all for it. So I'm not going to put a set number, but, you know, hopefully it's something close to that, where, you know, because we are better with Salvi in the lineup.
Q, fans are still piling in. I think they're chanting your name right now. So I'm going to let you go. I appreciate
the
time.
You got me to look.
I did. They're lining up. Right, appreciate it, Q. Thank you very much. Matt Quatrero, Royals skipper, joining us here on 610 Sports Radio, live from Kauffman Stadium. Royals Rally 2024 still coming up. We'll talk with one of the greats, number four, Alex Gordon, will swing by the show coming up in just about 15 minutes from now. J.J. Piccolo, Royals general manager, will give him that same question as it pertains to Salvador Perez. Now, you heard Q's response there. Salvi wants to be enshrined. We all want to see Salvi make it one day into Cooperstown, correct? I think the best way, or the only way that's going to happen, is if he puts up big offensive numbers. I'm talking 20-plus home runs, right around 20 home runs at least for the next 5 years. And I think the only way he does that is if we see him DH a lot more. Play first base a little bit more than we did last season. And maybe instead of 90 games caught like we saw here in 2023, maybe that falls by another 10. Because as Q mentioned, Freddie Fermin, next to Michael Garcia, I don't know if there's anyone that impressed me more over the course of that 162-game stretch last year. Now, of course, Cole Reagans. But I'm talking about a guy that was there in day one and what he looked like after game 162. So, Salvi's here, right? Here, at Kauffman Stadium at Royals Rally. But in the lineup, for as much uncertainty as there was of will Salvi be a Royal in 2024, once you started to see this organization make the moves to bring in Lugo and Waka and Renfro and all those moves that they made over the course of that week and a half, it became, to me, clear that Salvi wasn't going anywhere. At least, not anytime soon. Not prior to opening day. But we can discuss that as the trade deadline and next offseason comes along. But, yeah, I would expect to see a lot more Freddie Fermin in 2024. All right, text line's there for you, 913-586-7610. It's 913-586-7610. Let me go to the glasses. From the 816, Vern, who's the closer as of now? Probably should have lobbed that question to the skipper, eh? He wouldn't have answered it. He would have given you everybody that's in that bullpen. For as much as I want to say it's James MacArthur, for as much as I want it to be the general, he'll get an opportunity. And look, he could win it in spring training, right? We sit a month and a half, 2 months away from opening day. So still plenty of time. But as we sit here today, I'm thinking Will Smith is getting that first crack. Maybe it's a lefty-righty split between Will Smith and James MacArthur. From Stratton to Nick Anderson, who the team brought in from the Atlanta Braves this offseason, and I'll mention it again, Alec Marsh. For as much as I've campaigned for him in the past, loved him coming up throughout the organization, for as much as I love the build, I mean, this guy is built exactly how I want my starting pitchers built. Boy, that stuff could be electric. I mean, it already is electric. But coming out of the bullpen could take it, in my opinion, to a much different level. So, look, when it comes to the bullpen, to me, that's the final piece. I would love to say, hey, we got an HDH and, you know, the bullpen set. But even when you had HDH, the bullpen wasn't set. You still needed Ryan Madsen to come along and Luke Hochhaver and Franklin Morales and Jason Fraser and it wasn't as easy as we may have thought in years previous. But the bullpen, you can make moves in spring training. You can make moves throughout the regular season, as we saw last year. Right, James MacArthur is brought in from Philadelphia on a waiver claim. So, yeah, I'm not going to worry all that much about the bullpen right now. Because if this rotation brings the type of consistency that I'm expecting, I think I believe the Royals have enough in the bullpen. Because the best friend of a bullpen, the reason why a bullpen can thrive is because the rotation isn't overworking them. You got Waka giving you 160, 170 innings. Seth Lugo giving you $150. Brady Singer giving you $150. Hopefully Cole Reagan's giving you $150. All of a sudden, you're seeing Will Smith 2-3 times a week. James MacArthur twice a week. Chris Stratton a couple times a week. It's not very often you tune into the On Deck show and it's me telling you about, well, so-and-so reliever's been worked in back-to-back games, so he's going to be unavailable tonight. No, if you have a rotation that on occasion can pick up the bullpen, suddenly that good reliever becomes a very good reliever. That very good reliever becomes a dominant reliever. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. So to the question of who's the closer right now, I would say Will Smith taking the top spot. With James MacArthur, Chris Stratton coming in the 2 and 3 spot. Still coming up, J.J. Piccolo, Michael Massey, and Brady Singer. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll be back with more live from Kauffman Stadium. Royals Rally 2024 continues right after this.